Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
This hour is sponsored by Black Lung Brewing.
It's time for 5 on. Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris with Mark Grody bring you 5 topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Number 1.
It's time for 5 on it with Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and Mark Grody. Question number 1. Which Chicago Bear that hasn't been a full participant in practice this week do the Bears most need Sunday against the Detroit Lions?
I feel like this question sets us up to fail, doesn't it? Because you're basically wishing for somebody who might not be there. Am I right to feel that way?
No, I think you're just being hopeful that whoever you say is actually going to be on the field.
Because who I want to say I don't think is going to be on the field, unfortunately. I don't think TJ Edwards is going to be on the field. Do you guys? I would love that, but I'm not sure because of that hamstring.
I think today is the big day for him. He's my runner-up on this answer. I'm going to go with Kyler Gordon because the way they've talked about him and what Dennis Allen, his grand designs, all had Kyler Gordon deeply involved in whatever it is he wants to do, however he wants to scheme. So if they don't have him, it's going to continue to be problematic for the defense.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. I mean, like, I'm right around you with that. But I am going to go TJ Edwards just because of what an important defensive player he has been for the Bears, continues to be. I know Noah Sewell made the glaring error. I thought for his first start in the NFL, he was pretty good. But eventually, guys that are backups in the league, and that's what kind of Noah Sewell is right now, although he'll get plenty of playing time out there, they get exposed. So TJ Edwards, we know how important he is. He's more important than the guy playing next to him in Tremaine Edmonds, even though that was supposed to be the converse. So I will go TJ Edwards.
Our 5 on it segment brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS. 5 on
Number 2.
Which Bears player outside of Caleb Williams do you think is the best candidate to have a breakout game against the Lions?
Oh, man. What did I say last time? It was Colston Loveland. Layla. He'd had 2 catches for a total of 12 yards. And I was really happy to see his concentration when he had the bobble that turned into a catch. I thought that was great, especially out of a rookie. But I was wrong. I was wrong in thinking that was going to be the case. I will probably regret saying this too, but I say DeAndre Swift. He's got to get more yards total from the line of scrimmage. You want to call more runs, Ben Johnson. Go to RB1 first. Then I guess you're going to mix in whoever you deem will be RB2. But DeAndre Swift is my guy for this. I feel like even though the Lions are so strong up front, that's still, you still got to pound the rock more than you did. So that's my guy.
We agree. It is DeAndre Swift. And here's the unique thing about it. We understand that Ben Johnson is going to give a little bit more attention to the way he's calling plays and the establishing of a run game. I don't think that's where he's going to break out, though. I think DeAndre Swift is going to be a problem out of the backfield receiving the ball. I really believe he's going to have 4-plus catches, and they're going to be one of those going for a big play, a game breaker, a 20-plus yard gain through the air for DeAndre Swift. That is my prediction.
Let me take it up another level for both of you, because I know you guys are, I know you love to throw a couple of dollars down every once in a while, Marshall. Obviously, Layla, you do too. Big gambler over there.
We need a dollar bet, actually. Yeah. I was thinking about betting with Robbie to the side.
Okay. Well, let me throw this out there really quick. Over under 85 yards for DeAndre Swift.
Oh, it's
rushing.
The over.
Really?
Oh, no, wow. No. I was going total yards. Total yards.
Okay, no. I'm talking about rushing yards over.
Oh, under.
I'm setting it at 85.
I'm taking the under on that.
Yeah, to give some context, Josh Jacobs last week against the Lions, only 66 rushing yards.
Yeah, that's why I'm taking
you. You want to rethink that line, Grokes?
Okay. Well, no, I'm very comfortable with the line. I wanted to make it, but you guys
You're taking the over?
But I am, taking the, this was for you guys. So this,
well,
that was your answer.
Sounds like I need to find another dollar on the street, but, and I'm putting down a
number. I said it's going to be through the air where he makes the biggest impact.
You did. That was mostly for Layla. Because
no,
Layla said
I was saying, like, run the ball more.
Right. So
I'm wish casting here. I will admit it.
Yeah. No, that's okay. So you think about like 65, 70 yards, something like that for Swift?
Yeah, that would
when you say okay,
that would be a remarkable improvement from last week. Sadly,
my answer.
Well,
is,
not remarkable. He had 53, but it feels better. I don't know. 60s just feels better.
Okay, yeah, it does feel better. I am going to go with Dio Odangbo, and
didn't he break out last week?
Well, I guess in some ways he did, but he did have the one sack. I think he's going to he does have some penalties. He kind of fizzled out towards the end.
He had a trash penalty that wasn't really hands to the face. Come on now.
So are you guys not accepting my answer then?
Is no, that, I accept your answer. I think you're right.
Did I break the rules?
I'm defending Dio on the penalty. That wasn't his fault.
It's looking like Taylor Decker could not, as Layla told us earlier, not practicing today. Doesn't necessarily mean he's out yet, but, and even with the guys on the interior that we talked about with Hogue, with Graham Glasgow and Christian Mahogany and Tate Rutledge, there's some vulnerabilities there. So maybe not just Dio Odangbo. If Grady Jarrett plays, maybe he gets the motor on. But I will tell you this about Grady Jarrett, and I don't know if he's practicing today.
Exactly.
Saw him in the locker room yesterday, and he was walking slightly gingerly.
Oh, no. That's
is the
not
way
good.
I would describe it.
That's not good at all. I'll just say this about Dio. To make
slightly?
Him a breakout guy.
Slightly gingerly.
To make him a breakout guy, he'd have to have more than a sack, a tackle for a loss, and two quarterback hits. All of those categories led the team last year, or were tied for the team league, except for Montez Sweat had two tackles for loss.
So you will accept my answer.
I'll accept your answer. Qualifies. He's got to be better than that.
No, I hear you. I hear you. Because last week was a good, I would say a good Bears debut.
I thought
that's what
a
I
nice
would call
game.
It.
Yeah.
I did too.
And
I did too.
Again, I'm anti the Dio penalty. I thought it was a trash penalty.
No, I was one of the first guys I talked to in the locker room because I was like, okay, I see what we're doing here. One game, but I like the projection on him so far.
Number three.
This is 5 on it on 670 The Score. Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody are in the house on a football Friday. Here's the question. What did you think of the Packers last night in their 27-18 win over the Commanders?
Dear God in heaven.
Wow. That was your reaction.
Baby Jesus, help us.
I've been watching this Packers defense since before Micah Parsons got there, and I was like, oh, they're already really good. And we've talked about the numbers, friends. As a family, as a listening family, we have gone over the numbers. That was pre-Micah Parsons. And then I was like, oh, you guys are crazy trying to take Micah Parsons, making that much of a difference for the Packers to go to a Super Bowl. Look at what he's done to two offenses so far. And it's not just him, as we know. He changes the entire shape of the Green Bay Packers defense. The way he just mauls the line in front of him. It's terrifying. Think about how he made the Commanders offense look yesterday. They only scored 18 points. Jaden Daniels had to work for every one of those 200 yards he had in the air. He neutralized Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt. He only had 17 yards. And I say this not saying he did everything himself. It's just because of what they had to commit to him. And then when he did beat people, once again, he looked like Forrest Whitaker from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. He was playing inspired football. I am terrified.
I'm concerned, and not so much about the defense, because that's established. We know how good that is. But Jordan Love looked pretty good last night.
They play the Browns next week.
Maybe Myles Garrett can rectify this situation, but so far, Jordan Love has looked far too comfortable as the Packers quarterback. It's been a long time since he's had the type of issues that I would like to see him have.
Right?
You know, no, because like it's been forever since he's thrown an interception. So I just think from an offensive standpoint, maybe he's good enough to take the Packers where they want to go, and that's concerning.
Yeah, the old urine yellow and puke green
you know
are
what?
Looking
KMA.
Pretty good right now. Yes, the Jordan. I am like so in line with you on Jordan Love. Where's the struggling Jordan Love? Where's the guy that's
looked real struggled.
Hey man, he does have difficulties putting together a full season of consistency. So we can only hope that it does eventually go downhill for Jordan Love. But he looks really good.
You want to talk about mechanics? Like people don't talk about his, and they are pretty glaring. But Tucker Kraft had, what, like 75 yards to start the game or
six
something
Six catches
wild?
For 124 yards for Tucker Kraft, the third rounder from 2023. That was devastating to me as well.
That 57-yard catch.
So you're saying that third rounders can impact teams positively?
Oh, yeah. Zach Pickens, come on down. Valus Jones, come on down.
Fascinating stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting how that works. What was the word you used to describe your feelings about that game? Scared? What did you say?
Terrified.
I'm with you. Terrified. I'm terrified.
I'm not terrified. I am more than slightly concerned.
I'm going to send you the 4 video post I saw today.
Of? And?
It's just isolating his play during the game.
Oh, Micah Parsons.
What about Tucker Kraft?
It's so good.
He's just running free. Last time I checked on him, he was running free and then bouncing off of a couple of guys, getting taken down well after a first down.
2-2-4.
It's just like watching film of people who just, you know, when you're watching like high school recruit film and they're like playing for like Alabama, for example, and you get to watch the film and it's just horribleness after like, it's just destroying after destroying after destroying. That's what it felt like.
You see a little less there? A little less is staring at you.
He's giving me the side eye.
I'm watching you, Layla. A lot of people think that you're a Packers fan.
I am not, but I'm a fan of terrifying football. I want it.
I'm terrified.
Number 4.
On Thursday, Marshall said the White Sox were tenderizing the Rays. Tenderizing. Let's play a game. Is this tenderizing?
2-2 pitch. Ground ball up the middle into center field. My drop scores. Meade, he is waved home. The throw offline. And it's the Sox striking first. It's run single for Colson Montgomery.
And is this tenderizing?
Teal sticks out the bat. Could it fall? Yes, it does! Past the diving Williams. Vargas scores. Taylor, he is safe. And Kyle Teal, the rookie, off the bench, drives in 2. His active on-base streak is pushed to 20, and the Sox with a 5-0 lead.
Oh, yeah. There was tenderizing done, just as I predicted. Now, nice and softened up for the Cubs over on the north side are your Tampa Bay Rays.
Mm-hmm. We had some fun with the word tenderizing yesterday, which I appreciated. And then we proceeded to see what happened in the game. That was what the kids call a nice piece of hitting by Colson Montgomery. I thought that that was just, again, another example of who he is now at the plate after his circuitous path to the big leagues. Once again, he just comes through. You know, the nice 2 RBI, just hot hit on the ground ball single works in good ways. His OPS is now up to 831. Yes, play number 1 is tenderizing. Kyle Teal in a pinch hit situation. Yes, I vote tenderizing.
It's interesting to me that the White Sox have something that the Cubs probably long for, them and their fans. And that's a situation where your best players don't play and you still win the game. And, oh, if they need to come off the bench and do something, they will. That depth and the understanding that they have more than enough guys that they can mix and match their lineup and feel good about it. That's not something you've been able to say about the Cubs all season long.
We got to get you a tenderizer. Just like you should have
just,
it.
Just
like,
to have it available to me.
Time
to
for the tenderizer.
Out, little
time for the tenderizer.
Pop, 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 pop. Maybe a little marinade too. Pop, 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 pop.
Getting your money's worth out of pop, that pop, one pop, kind pop. Of protein.
Yeah, man. I hope Shane Boz was getting a load of that. Shane Boz is the Tampa Bay pitcher who will pitch tonight or pitch today with his nearly 5 ERA.
Whoops.
So he is tender, although he's been very good over his last 3 starts. I was kind of looking up a little bit on him, is that he is a first-round pick from 2017 with the Pittsburgh Pirates. The White Sox 2017 first-round pick was Jake Berger. The Cubs was a guy by the name of Brendan Little who is now with the Jays. I don't know why I took that turn, but I did take that turn just now. They are tenderized, to answer the question.
Because 2017, as many know, is a pivotal year in the White Sox organization because they have tried to get virtually every top prospect from the top 100 of that list.
Yeah.
See
yeah.
Andrew at some point. Benintendi.
At some point.
And that was the last time the Chicago Cubs were in the National League Championship Series.
Number 5.
This is 5 on it on 670 The Score. Layla, Marshall, Mark, does Cubs legend Anthony Rizzo deserve a statue in Gallagher Way?
The answer is yes, in some way, shape, or form. The only thing that I am trying to figure out is, like,
if Rizzo is getting one, are there other guys from that time, like Chris Bryant, should he have a piece of that? Javier Baez, Kyle Schwarber, like, how do you divvy it up? But I would argue that Rizzo is probably top three most important players on the entire team. And I know pitchers are a little more, like, the Jake Arrieta factor. I mean, what a revelation that was. Obviously, John Lester. So it becomes complicated to me. Yes, Anthony Rizzo deserves a statue, but so do other guys. So how do they handle the situation? Did they just put up a bunch of statues all over the place? They buy more land?
Yes.
they buy Roscoe Village or something?
They buy more land of Gallagher Way, or they just put it on one of the rooftops that they've bought.
I like the rooftop idea. I was actually going to say that, but I think
I don't think a bronze statue on a rooftop is structurally sound.
It's probably not from a weight and distribution and a wind perspective. The architecture is questionable at best. I will say this. He deserves some type of recognition in permanent form. And I think a lot of those players from that team do. Because here's how you could do it. It can be an ensemble because of what that team did. You know, like we just had at the Basketball Hall of Fame. We just had LeBron and Kobe and all those guys from the Redeem team go into the Hall of Fame. It should be that type of situation. Honor the stars from that team together in an ensemble trophy type situation.
Like a White Sox.
A statue situation.
Like what the Sox have out at the Rate.
Something similar.
Yes.
Something similar.
Where they have guys sprouting out like Joe Creedy. Old Joe Creedy.
I think the issue with the statue is that when you look at the statues that are now in Gallagher Way, I feel like it's a marriage of those who had incredible stats in their career and incredible career numbers combined with what they meant to the team, which is why this gets tricky to say who from that 2016 Cubs team deserves the statue. You know, you appreciate Rizzo, of course, in a way because he's the captain. He was the such a favorite. He, again, I think, as we said earlier, he embodied the change of scenery is good for athletes. That was a trade with the Padres where they were very bullish on getting Andrew Cashner in return. And we know what Rizzo meant to help put this together. He was symbolic of Theo Epstein's vision for the team that ended up resulting in that World Series. But he wasn't the only one.
Right.
You know, Chris Bryant, his stats that year and his performance that year
MVP
was far and away more significant to the team's success. That doesn't take away from what Rizzo did. It doesn't take away from what the rest of the lineup did. But when you consider that part of it, so that's why I think it's not as simple as does he deserve the statue. It's how do you honor that team?
Who do you leave off the statue? Well, might be the better
that,
question,
that is
honestly
really part of it.
Don't worry about it. Think of it less as a statue, more of a shrine, and make it Allen Iverson size. I know you guys remember what the size of his. Right.
Yeah, it was like the size of my 40 ounce of water.
But like I said, make it more of a shrine than a statue.
Ooh, that's good. Shrine. That's a great word, Marshall. Well done.
Yeah, I don't know how to physically make that happen because I'm not an artist.
That's not my job. I just
but we can figure out something. All right, we'll get on that. Robbie, write that down.
Write that down, Robbie.
Shrine.
Robbie, what have I told you? Like, it's fine if they want to say write that down. You don't write stuff down until I tell you to write that down. Write that down.
Okay. Shrine.
Wait, I didn't know that was one of the rules.
No, I think he wrote down shrine twice now.
I would like to make it a show
announcement. Did you cross through it and then write it down again?
Right. It's like in baseball, like when you do the signs of your face, there's the indicator. Grody's my indicator. So when he says write that down, that's when I actually write it down.
Tip of the cap was the indicator for me in high school.
Oh, it was?
High school baseball.
Yeah. Mine was touch the chest.
Touch the chest.
Stolen base.
Okay.
Shoulder.
Shoulder
I didn't
indicator.
Play for my high school baseball team because I'm not a dude.
What?
But yeah, there was that. Now
what?
The girls' high school baseball teams, by the way, the girls who play high school baseball, not softball.
Yeah,
they're awesome. They're cooler than me by a million miles.
I have not watched them play.
They exist.
Okay.
We didn't have one.
Sorry.
Yeah. Darn. I have zero athletic ability, so there was
well,
that
yeah,
well.
So you don't have to worry about it. No regrets, but Layla.
No regrets.
No regrets, Raheemy.
That's a lie. She has athletic ability. Her eye-hand coordination may be lacking, but she has athletic ability. I've seen it.
In what regard?
Yeah, now I'm curious.
Where do you see any pandering now? Or
as a dancer, as a person that can do things, pistol squats and such, I can't do it.
Oh, wow.
Wow. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Can you do the splits now?
Yeah.
Really?
There you go.
My niece did it, and she broke her butt recently. She like
what?
Literally, yeah. My niece is a junior high cheerleader, and she did the splits, and she, poor Madeline. And she literally, like, that's what the doctor said. She broke her butt.
Did she want her uncle telling that story on broadcast radio?
Madeline, probably most similar to me in the family, so she probably would appreciate me
talking
about it.
Could just call her M. You didn't have to get the whole day.
Okay. Yeah. Well, get better, Madeline. I'm sorry that happened. As for your Uncle Grody, we'll make him run a lap or something for telling that story on air.
Aw, poor Madeline.
Coming up next, we got to get to the Cubs lineup. And I think we got to go around the horn. Everybody gets 2 minutes each to get their predictions in for Bears and Lions. We'll do it all next as we get you ready for Cubs baseball on the school.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on the score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. We are getting you ready for Cubs baseball. Jensen Richards is your pregame host from Wrigley before the call today of the Cubs taking on the Rays at Wrigley. And in fact, pregame begins at 12:45. First pitch is at 1:20 here on the Score in the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. You have a lineup for us.
Oh, I have a lineup for you. I want you to, guys, if you could pick out what's going on with the lineup that maybe has not been going on with the lineup. Leading off and playing first base is Michael Busch against the right-handed pitcher Shane Boz. Batting second, playing left field, is the switch hitter, Ian Happ. Batting third, for only the second time this season, is the catcher, Carson Kelly. Pete Crow Armstrong, a.k.a. PCA, he'll bat cleanup and play center field. Nico Horner in a prime number five spot in the order. He will play second base. Moises Ballesteros will DH.
Well.
And bat six.
I smell an opposite field gap three-run double coming today.
Wow.
From Mo Baller, really.
Loading the bases from Mo Baller.
Mm-hmm.
Then we've got Dansby Swanson batting seventh and playing shortstop. Willie Castro will play right field and bat eighth. Matt Shaw will hold down the nine spot. He will play third base. Did you notice who was not in that lineup?
I did.
Seiya Suzuki taking time off, and apparently there's a reason why, Layla?
Yeah, Elise Miniker reporting that Seiya isn't in the lineup because he's sick. This is another injury update from the Cubs that she had. Kyle Tucker has been doing activity like biking, hitting, and throwing.
Okay.
She said he feels symptoms when running.
That's not good.
So council said they want a weekend of no symptoms before he gets back into running. It is unlikely he will be activated on Tuesday. And that Michael Soroka went two and a third innings yesterday, and according to Craig Counsell, Soroka's velocity was very good, significantly up from his last start with us. Got up to 96.6 miles an hour. His next outing, he'll be activated. And Daniel Palencia played catch.
How do you guys feel about Matthew Boyd, who did go seven strong innings against Washington in his most recent appearance? He did struggle against Colorado, San Francisco, and Milwaukee. And I'm going to say struggle. He did not look like an ace. So my question to you guys is, how is Matthew Boyd still the ace? Is he still the guy on this pitching staff, or have we gone full Cade Horton?
Oh, yeah. I think everyone's saying Cade Horton now, right, Lila?
Yeah, it's Cade Horton. And with our last 8 minutes now or so, I think it is time for our predictions for the Bears game. So we're going to go around the horn. I wanted to give everybody 2 minutes each, but I think we're now down to like a solid minute and change. So, predictions for Bears-Lions. Groats, I'll start with you.
I already said this on Take the North podcast. The Lions will win 27-17. Like, I think Dan Campbell is right. Like, they have to win. They're the better team, too. However, I might bet on the Bears to win.
Wait.
Smart money.
I'm just saying.
Smart money. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
I needed a few more words there.
Because there's 6 point. This is a 6 point favorite.
Yes.
So money line might throw a few bucks down because just in case the Bears do win, my brain is saying yes, the Detroit will win. The betting line is telling me that the Bears could win and pull a surprise party. I'll just say this really quickly. The only other time in my life that I bet on a Bears game was Thanksgiving last year in Detroit, and I came so close.
Don't bet on the game.
I bet on the Bears to win that game.
Whatever you do, don't bet on this game.
I'm going to wait until the injury reports come final. We know who's playing or have a better idea who's playing, which will probably be when the inactives are announced a couple hours before the game. I'm going to take the Bears, though, to win this game.
Ooh.
24-20.
You think the Lions are going to go 0-2?
How about that?
Yeah, I think that's possible. Yeah.
Ooh.
Layla?
I do not think the Lions are going to go 0-2. I unfortunately think the Bears do, and it's unfortunately just by default. Like, that's what happens when you lost that game at home against the Vikings. I think the Lions win their home opener. I don't think they're scoring 30 points, not after that 13-point outburst against Washington. So I'm going to Green Bay. Washington suffered the same fate as Green Bay. So I think, the Lions did. Wow. Anyway, if you play Green Bay, you're probably not going to score a lot of points. I do think the Lions probably do score at least like 28, so I think it's going to be a 28-21 type of situation. That's a lot of touchdowns I'm giving the Bears.
At least you're making it a one-score game.
It's the margin.
Unlike somebody.
Yeah.
Are the Lions as good as they were last year? No. Are they as good because they lost Ben Johnson? Absolutely not. It's a big loss that they lost Ben Johnson, but Ben Johnson is walking into a madhouse. He is going to get booed relentlessly. It's going to be ugly. The Lions are going to want to kill him. Let me tell you, the fans there do not like Ben Johnson.
Right.
I am giving the Lions offense. I know what I saw. I think the Packers are really good. I think the Lions are going to put up some points. They're going to win 31-24, and I'm saying that as a diehard Bears fan, so it hurts me a whole lot.
So I think the loud atmosphere at Ford Field in Detroit is going to play a big factor here, I think, you know, the Bears offense really still needs to get it together. This ain't going to be the week to do it, in my opinion. So I think we're going to see the Bears offense struggle. I also think we're going to see the Lions offense struggle because we have a new coordinator in the mix there in Detroit, and they still need to get it together. I think the Bears defense will step up a little bit. I don't think we'll see them fizzle out again in the second half like we did last week on Monday Night Football. So I'm going to say it's going to be a low-scoring affair. I hope I'm really wrong about this, and it is the opposite, but I'm going 17-13 Lions over the Bears.
I think since, you know, everybody's a diehard Bears fan, so to speak.
Diehard.
I was born in a Jules. Can I tell you, though, what, and you were conceived during the 85 Super Bowl, even though
you're
only 28.
Yes, in a Portillo's parking lot, yes.
It's the conception.
Second the game ended.
You know what little nugget I actually want to throw out there, because it makes me giggle every time I see it. So the Lions at Ford Field, they will put up on that LED screen that circles the field. You know, it's in the stands, obviously, on the arcs of the end of the arcs of the decks. So it says, typically it'll give a score or something like that. When it's time to be quiet in Lions font, it will say quiet, like in italics, all caps. And every time it makes me laugh. Because it just tells the crowd to quiet down in a way that I think is pretty funny.
Also, do the Bears need that? Because last I heard, the head coach was talking about a silent count at home.
Well, that's been an issue through the years at Soldier Field. And what they put, you know what they do at Soldier Field on the big board? You guys ever seen this?
No, I don't think I have.
Bears at work. Bears at work. Quiet, please.
Oh, I have. Now that you say that, yes. I have seen that.
I just like the one word, quiet, in the same font as like grit, Lions.
Unlike like in golf, like fancy golf. Quiet, please.
No, there's no please.
Quiet,
Just all caps.
Right.
Italic. Quiet.
Quiet.
I think it's hilarious. It makes me giggle every time. Is that a real word? What did you just say?
That was, I believe that was be quiet in German. Sei ruhig. Sei ruhig. Ferme la bouche. I picked up a little German growing up. Yeah. A little bit here and there.
Ferme votre bouche. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Shut your mouth.
Ferme la
bouche.
Half a shot if you're trying in Farsi.
I have a question for you guys. Monday, we get in here. Win or loss, whatever. What are we saying about Caleb Williams?
Better. No, I think we'll be saying better. I think some things will have been cleaned up for this game. I don't know. We'll see all the the sloppiness. I don't know if we're going to be talking about a 300-yard game or even a 250-yard game, but I do think that we'll be talking about progress.
I don't want him on Wednesday to say the same thing he said to us this week, which was, well, I don't typically do that. And he was talking about accuracy. Unfortunately, it has been a pattern for you. So maybe hopefully we're talking about more, maybe not as many pass attempts, but more efficient ones.
I think we're going to be talking about something that's something spectacular that Caleb Williams did in that game. That's what I think. That's one of the reasons why I picked the Bears to win. I think Caleb is going to put on the cape, and Ben Johnson's going to make it so that when he gets to that point where he needs to put on the cape, they're in a position to win the game.
You're talking about Monday as well. I'm sorry, Layla. We're going to open up the meatball machine once again.
Meatball machine. So if you have thoughts during the Bears and Lions game, or frankly, even this weekend's Cubs series, just vent them to the meatball machine. Robbie said it was overflowing when he checked it on Monday.
It was just so many meatballs. Oh, so many.
That's a big meatball mess is what that is.
Yeah, there's sauce everywhere.
Right, did Grody leave a message?
Grody, but the best messages are the ones at 4 in the morning, but I couldn't play some of them.
Yeah.
Donna?
Donna at 3:30 was good, yeah.
Wait, you couldn't play it? You couldn't even bleep stuff out? It was that bad?
Well, it's just like, it was
clean
not
it
good.
Up. Okay, yeah. It was so filthy and dirty that you couldn't even clean
sauce
it up.
Sauce was everywhere.
Hey, the meatball machines, sports, prediction, yeah.
Yeah, just go to the Odyssey app. Go to the Odyssey app. 670 the score, send a voice message.
Hi, boom. I'm just really frustrated with
I feel that, Donna. I feel that in my soul.
Donna's always like that. Hey you guys, what's going on?
I think she's very different at 3:30 PM than she is at 3:30 AM.
I'd like to think she's just like that all. Hey Robbie.
You know what? Donna, call us during the day and we'll see.
Dirty Donna.
Leave a voice message during the day on the meatball machine and let's see what happens.
Dirty Donna.
Let me tell you about Dirty Donna.
I don't think Donna's dirty. I think she was just overserved.
I think that was a Michael Jackson and that's a song.
How do you guys know I don't know Dirty Donna?
Oh, yeah. I didn't know you got down like that. Now we know.
I get Donna is what I get.
Oh.
I don't get down.
No.
I get Donna.
No. All right. It's time to end the show. Thanks to Ray Diaz, Robbie Triano, as we mentioned, Brandon Fryer.
Hello, Donna.
Connor O'Donnell, Jacob Stutz, Max Curtis, and of course our guests, Adam Hoge, Joe Ostrowski, Mark Grody, Marshall Harris, and you for joining us. Cubs baseball is next on The Score. This year.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.